save the world. He that rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And that's the problem with the world. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that the Father sent the Son into the world to save the world. They reject that. They are alienated from that. They don't receive that. That's the state of the world. Don't let the religious demeanor of this world fool you. They speak a good game. Now remember, I'm talking about the world system. All right? They speak a good game, but in their hearts, they are alienated from God. I don't care how religious they may appear. I don't care how spiritual they may appear. If they do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in them, they are alienated from God. They are alienated from God. So on your study guide, the world is in bondage to sin and the flesh and the devil. The world is in bondage to sin and the flesh and the devil, and that's what alienates them from God. Galatians 5:4-3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The sin that condemns the world is not the breaking of God's law. You know what sin it is that condemns the world? Unbelief in the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. That's what condemns the world. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But yet what do you hear preached all the time? Keep the law, keep the law, do good works, do good works, do good works. That's what's going to get you into heaven. Is your good works get you into heaven? No. What does Ephesians 2 tell us? By grace you are saved. Not by works. Not by works. And also this, folks, the mission of the true church is not to get rich. I know, that's a shocker, isn't it? And the mission of the church is not to be healed either. And the mission of the church is not to enjoy our best life now either. I know, what a shock. But that's what's preached. That's what's preached. You know what the mission of the church is? To speak the truth about He who is the truth. That's the mission of the truth, to tell people about Jesus Christ and how they can have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Not how you can make your wallet fat or be healed of your warts. It's about sharing Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, with others. That's what the mission of the church is all about. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We're to tell people how to get out of the snare of the devil. How to be free. How to be free. So on your study guide, for those who still have their study guides. So contrary to all the rhetoric we may be hearing by the activists and the elitists of this worldly system, under the princedom of the devil, it wholeheartedly believes in slavery. The word is wholeheartedly. This world, I don't care what it's telling you, it believes in slavery. It promotes slavery. Whether it's religious slavery or political slavery or economic slavery, mental, emotional slavery, whatever it is, it promotes slavery. It enforces and even preaches slavery. On your study guide, the world seeks to control our bodies and our conduct by the dissemination of ideas and propagandas to gain acceptance by the masses to be under the control of the ungodly. It's very subtle. It's very sneaky. It's very tricky, but it's happening all the time. All the time. My goodness, if you're paying attention to the political commercials today, it's amazing. A lot of it is just outright propaganda. It's lies to support one side of the aisle versus the other. You know what the purpose of all that is? Educational system, culture, society, entertainment. It's to keep you alienated from God. It's to keep you alienated from God. It's to attract you away from God, to woo you away from God, to present things more interesting, more important, of higher priority than God. That's the intention, is to alienate us from God. Alienate us from God. Do I have Hosea 9:7 on your study guide?
No.
Okay. Hosea 9:7. Hosea the prophet, he wrote this: the days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. When Hosea wrote down this prophecy, these were very, very dark days for the 10 northern tribes of Israel. They had succumbed to the control of godless kings and wicked leadership. The prophets that were coming up in the country, that were rising up in the country, was promoting all sorts of idolatry and false teachings about Jehovah God that were not true. And they were offering sacrifices and involving themselves in all sorts of perversions of the flesh, corrupting themselves because of these so-called pastors and these preachers preaching all of this falsehood and all of this out-and-out slander and lies about God. And Hosea was warning them. He was trying to warn them about these false prophets that were ensnaring them like a fowler. Do you know what a fowler is? He's the one who's an expert in catching birds. All right? He's an expert in catching birds, and that's the way these people were being treated. Like birds being caught in a net of deception and lies. Being in this net, being drug away and pulled away from God onto these idols. Onto these idols. Not any different than it is today, folks. We've got false prophets and preachers out there casting out these nets and scooping up people into their lies and pulling them away from God's Word and God's truth and God's Son. And he's saying, open your eyes and be aware of this. Proverbs 6:5 says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. This is one of the things that John in his epistle is warning us about, are these seducers. The hunter seeks the souls of men and the fowler ensnares the souls of men. And both of these types are not good for anyone. And how can we deliver ourselves from the hunter? How can we deliver ourselves from the fowler? By giving heed to God's word. Holding fast to God's sound word. Looking into God's word for the truth. To counter all of the deceptions and the seductions and the lies that are out there. And not only by taking heed to it, we see it right here in the second chapter of John's epistle, first epistle. Not only listening to it, not only studying it, but obeying it and doing it and applying it to your life. And that's where so many of us fall short. Yeah, we know it really well. We can quote it really well, but how well do we live it? How well do we apply it? How well do we apply it? In John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The only way that truth is going to make you free is if you apply it as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're going to be caught up in the net of the fowler. You're going to get caught up in the net of the fowler. Psalms 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Do you want the protection of God in your life? Then you need to hold up the shield of faith. You need to put that sword of the truth in your hand. You need to put on that helmet of salvation and that breastplate of righteousness and gird your loins with truth and put on your feet the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to put on the whole armor, folks. You got to put on the whole armor. And so don't be deceived by the subtle words that seek to alienate you from God. Because the world is alienated from God. And it seeks to do the same with us, with any. Number 6. Whatever the world touches, it defiles. Whatever the world touches, it defiles. To me, this is the most challenging aspect of this worldly system that's under the influence of the prince of darkness, under the devil. And this is the one I think that we really fall short in sometimes, that we're not really that aware of that we should be, because it is so insidious. It's so subtle. And whatever the world touches, it defiles. In James 1:27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." To keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, on the surface, what the world has to offer and what the world can often produce looks pretty wholesome, looks pretty good. And I gotta preface this. There's a lot of decent people on this planet. There's a lot of decent, good-hearted people in the world. Okay? They've got good hearts. They're wanting to do the right thing, do the best thing. And so what I'm saying is I'm not saying anything against people that are like that. There's some people out there that are very sacrificing, willing to put their life on the line for others. Okay, so I want to preface that. But what I am talking about is the worldly system, the mentality, the attitude, the spirit, the philosophy, all of this that's being influenced because of the devil. That's what I'm talking about, is the system. It's the system that we live in. And whatever the worldly system touches, it'll defile. It'll defile. They use the right language. They portray the right spirit. But be careful. Because behind it all, there's an attitude, there's an influence, there's a spirit that seeks to defile it in some way, in some fashion. As an example, and we know this is true, as an example, and not to speak against any of these organizations or meaning to sound cynical, but consider charitable organizations of the world. There are charitable organizations out there who are good. Do your research. That's what I'm saying. But there are charitable organizations out there that may have started out good, but they're not. How many times have we heard a particular charitable organization that has been guilty of misappropriation of funds? Just a few years, I shouldn't say a few, maybe 10, 15 years ago, we had a huge charitable organization stationed right here in Kansas City that got into all sorts of trouble. Because what it was discovered was that the leadership and the staff were living living a high life, big houses, nice cars, and when they checked the books of this particular charitable organization, less than 2% of the money being brought into this organization was actually going out to meet whatever need they claimed that they were meeting. Less than 2%. And the rest of it they claimed was for overhead, for paying salaries. What happened? What happened? 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, it's that love of money. It's that defilement. It's that defilement. And none of us are immune to that. None of us are immune to that. It's this misplaced love that is one of the primary motivators and influencers of the spirit of this fallen world. He's really very good at getting you misdirected as far as your affections are concerned, as far as your love is concerned. And that's what John is warning these believers about. He says, don't let your love be misdirected. Don't let your love be misdirected toward the world. Because the world's not your friend. The world's not your friend. Another example, in our own country, we've had institutions of high learning. In the very beginning, they began with the intention of educating young men to become godly leaders for this nation. And yet those very same institutions today are turning out young people whose minds have been poisoned against God in this nation. These institutions that at one time had a good beginning, a right beginning, has been corrupted, has been defiled. I'm telling you, whatever the world gets its hands on, it defiles it. And that includes you and me. And you know that's true. You know that's true. It's something we fight all the time. It's something we have to be aware of all the time. I'm going to be a little crass. Proverbs 6, somebody says, well, when has he never been crass? But Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Another defilement that comes from the world is this inordinate affection, as the Bible politely phrases it. This defilement of, I'm going to say it, this defilement of the marriage bed. You know, that's no longer honored anymore. It's no longer honored anymore. It's permeated all of our culture, no matter where you go in the world. I can recall not too far back where there was a big, big battle in the courts about a particular kind of material. There was one group that wanted to ban this material from being, you know, right there when you go into 7-Eleven, and there it is for everybody, even children, to see. And they were wanting to take that material off the shelf. But the purveyors of that material, they went to court and they claimed it was freedom of speech that was being attacked. And guess what? They won. And that material stayed there in full view of even kids to see. And I think we're seeing the outcome of that today. It's become so acceptable in culture. So acceptable in culture. It's even in your television programs, it's in your ads, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Everything the world touches, it defiles. Everything the world touches, it defiles. What was once considered a perversion is now normalized and accepted, and even permitted to marry. Everything the world touches, it defiles. Proverbs 23:6 says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Folks, that's the world. It'll pretend to be your friend, it'll be your buddy, but it's not. It seeks to defile. It seeks to alienate you from God. It seeks to defile everything about your life. Regardless of how noble something may have had in the beginning, if the world gets a hold of it, it's going to ruin it. It's going to defile it. That includes you, your family, everything. And I only say this just to be aware. Just be aware. Just be aware. Also, don't go running off to a cave with your guns and your... That's not going to work either. Just be aware. Just be aware. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." We can't legislate righteousness in the hearts of men, but we need laws, and we need folks who are willing and able to enforce those laws. But if you think that you're going to, you know, clean up the defilement of this world through the laws, that's not going to happen. But we do need the laws. I'm glad they're there. If the laws weren't there, it would be chaos. Be craziness. And this brings me to my next point. Why these laws don't work? Well, number 7, because the world is unreformable. Unreformable. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The world is unreformable. I think this is where the church may have gotten off track a few times, because the church tries to reform the world. But we're not out there to reform the world. We're to be salt in the world. And we're to try to keep back the corruption as much as possible, but we're not going to reform the world. We are to reach the world with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. But the world is unreformable. Psalms 118:8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You know, I say this because of the current political atmosphere. It's interesting to me how many people are putting their trust in a particular individual as though if that particular individual gets elected into office, then everything will be made right. Maybe. But maybe not. Where are the people putting their trust in? They're putting their trust in a human being that they think is going to reform, make right. But that's not necessarily so. There's only one person that's going to make things right. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The world is unreformable. That's why God in the end, in Revelation 21:1, that's why God in the end is going to make a new heaven and new earth. He's going to have to start over. So on your study guide, mankind cannot make the world a better place because lost man himself is not in a better place. It's sinful men trying to fix a sinful problem. Now again, you know, I'm not saying this to get everybody gloomy and hopeless and stuff. It's just be aware. Just be aware. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, he says, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world, will be a friend of the world, is the enemy of God. The world's not your friend, so why make friends with it? It's your enemy. So on your study guide, this is what we see occurring in Christianity today. We see a Christianity that is making alliances with the enemy, a Christianity willing to compromise, to wink at what it knows is contrary to God's word and is antichrist by nature. And it's this last point that God had shown Apostle Paul. He'd shown it to John. He'd shown it to Peter. Shown it to Jude. He showed these things to these men that wrote this, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to warn us of these things. And we would be foolish to put our hands over our eyes and stick our thumbs in our ears and then try to ignore it. There comes a time that, there is a time, I should say, that the church that professes Jesus will turn against Jesus and turn to idols. And we're doing that even now, folks. That's happening even right now. In fact, John's last exhortation in 1 John is 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why would he say that? Because that's where we're at right now. That's where we're at right now. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is a very covetous period of church history. Very covetous. We live in a time in the church age that's all about stuff and rights. It's all about our stuff and all about our rights. And again, he's just warning us, don't go there. Don't be like that. That's what he's saying. Don't come under the influence of this worldly system. Be separate. Come out from among them. Don't buy into the lies. Don't buy into it. This is what he's saying. It truly is a battle for the heart. It truly is a battle for the heart. Who do you love? That's what it comes down to. Do you love the world or do you love Jesus Christ? That's where it really comes down to. That's what he's saying here. So don't fall under the influence of this. He's warning us of this peril of the heart, this spirit of the world, that has infiltrated even the church in so many ways and so many levels. And he's saying, just keep your eyes open and be aware. 1 John 2:15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a pretty strong statement. That's a pretty strong statement. You see, God didn't design our hearts to be able to love two things at the same time. We can't love the world that's the enemy of God and love God at the same time. It's just incompatible. Light can't mix with darkness. Love can't mix with hate. And the world hates God. The world hates Jesus Christ. The world hates you because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the two just simply don't mix. That's what he's saying. So on your study guide, that which identifies the world as the world is not to be our identity as sons of God. We're not to identify with the world. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God and heareth us, he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And tragically, what's going on in the church today is that spirit of error has got a hold of so many ears. So many ears. Well, I'm sorry if you disagree, but that's just the way it is. So what is true of the world should not be true of us. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the children of night nor of darkness. John 12:36, while ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be children of light. Very clear. Very clear. It also says in John 12:36, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Jesus hid himself from those who rejected the light. In Revelation 3, what do we read toward the end of Revelation 3? What is Jesus doing? He's standing at what? A door? And what is he doing? He's knocking on that door. And when you go to a house and you knock on the door, why do you knock on the door? To get in. To get in. The Laodicean church today is a closed door to Jesus. He's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. So this is the spirit of the world. This is what we have to be aware of. This is what we have to understand that we're contending with. And no, don't go running to a mountaintop. Or shut your doors and pull down your blinds. That's not what we should be all about. So on your study guide, this is the point. We must understand the seriousness of the environment that we live in. And heed the warning of Lot. 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them is seeing in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, isn't that a wild thing? That the Bible would refer to Lot as just and righteous? I've read the story of Lot in Genesis. But yet the Bible testifies he's a just and righteous man. He was just in the wrong place. with the wrong heart. So on your study guide, Lot's righteous soul was vexed, yet the gain he had in being a friend to the world in his eyes justified his remaining in Sodom, and in doing so he lost all. In doing so, he lost it all. Yeah, God delivered just Lot. But look at what he lost. You see, God didn't have the whole heart of this man. Lot attempted to live with one foot with God and one foot with Sodom. He had a divided heart, divided loyalties. He tried to make room in his heart for two loves. And it didn't prove out well. And it never does prove out well. Never does. That's why his example is here. Jesus warned us about the end times, and he likened it to Lot's day, didn't he? Luke 17:28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. First Corinthians 7:31 says, and they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The world abuse, this is on your study guide, means to be caught up in the excesses of this world. To be caught up in the excesses of this world. It's like being thrown into a river and you're carried along in a current. And so many of us are caught up in the current of this world. The Bible warns us, don't be that way. Don't be that way. So on your study guide, the spirit of the world has permeated everything, including the Laodicean church. The letter, again on your study guide, the letter written to the Laodicean church was written to a church that was living in spiritual ignorance of their true condition. On the outside, it looked really good, very busy, nice, beautiful buildings, a lot of wonderful activities going on, you know, great moving music. There's a lot going on. I mean, it really looks good on the outside. But Jesus says, no, you guys got a problem. You guys have got a problem. You need to work on that problem. You got to work on your heart issue. You know, unfortunately, because of that, it's little wonder that the church is being mocked today and being made fun of. It's little wonder. This is something that I didn't think I'd ever see. But you see it all the time. Jesus Christ himself is being mocked openly. I know I've mentioned this before. He's mocked on, Family Guy. The cartoon Family Guy, he's mocked on, what's the longest running one? Simpsons. To me, that is such a clever ploy of the enemy to use a cartoon. Now, who's appealed? Who do cartoons appeal to? Kids. Young people. And so they're using a medium that appeals to young people to do what? Mock Jesus Christ. Mock Jesus Christ. And yet, even good Christians watch that stuff, thinking they're immune to it. You're not immune to it. You're not immune to it. You know, there is a principle of taking inside. That's why you don't sit at the rich man's and desire his dainties. Because those dainties will end up poisoning you. And yet that's the attitude that a lot of people have towards the things of this world. They want to participate in their dainties. In John, 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have a tendency to focus on the things of the world. It's on your study guide. The things of the world are mere tools used by the wicked one to allure us into loving this fallen and wicked world system. Those are just tools that he uses. The real issue is your affection of the heart. Where is the affection of your heart? Is it with the world or is it with God? That's the real target right there. That's what the danger of the things of the world is all about. The things of the world is nothing. It's what he's shooting for is your affection of your heart. Where is your heart? It's not the things. On your study guide, when we have the biblical perspective about the cosmos, we can understand why John uses such stark language in loving not the world and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are just things that the enemy uses to draw away your affection from God unto the world. The world will never be your friend. The world system, the cosmos, is under the princedom of the devil. And we as believers, we need to recognize this, be aware of this. And let me close with this. I've got a lot more to say, but I'm running out of time. We once owned a very sweet beagle dog named Penny. Penny was very gentle, very affectionate dog. But like most dogs of her breed, she had two faults. She followed her nose wherever it led her. Right? And that's true of beagles. They just follow their... And there were many times we've gotten phone calls, Mr. Trude, Penny's out here in our street. Maybe you want to come and get her. Because that's what she would do. She would just follow her nose, take off in the neighborhood. And so we'd have to go get her. The other fault was that Penny liked to eat. And so she's a big old round beagle. Followed her nose and loved to eat. Well, one day my children, being the saints that they are, had fixed it up to where they could suspend a hot dog in front of Penny's nose just out of reach. And so Penny walked all through the house, all through the yard, trying to get a hold of that hot dog. She could see the hot dog, she could smell the hot dog, but she could never quite get the hot dog. Folks, we live in perilous times. We live in an age where the churches are full of pennies. The world dangles that hot dog just out of their reach. And they chase after that hot dog. Instead of focusing on Jesus Christ. Don't be a penny. Don't let the world lead you around by the nose. You put your heart, your affection, your love upon God and His Word, His Son and His mission, and others. That's what you should follow. Not a piece of hot dog. Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord, and we're thankful for your Word. We thank you, Lord God, that your Word warns us of this world system. And Father, it is so alluring. So alluring. There's so many wonderful baubles and shiny things in this planet that just wants to grab our attention. And there's some good things, Lord, that we should be blessed by and enjoy. But there is that spirit behind it all that even is malicious enough to take even the good things, Father, and use it against us to defile it and corrupt us. Father, help us to guard our hearts, for the issues of life comes from the heart, Father. So help us, Lord God, to just to love you in such a way that the allurement of the world has no impact upon us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Page 17.